Now, another really important part of the story, I think, when talking about the New York Wages for Housework Committee is that this is all getting started in the mid-1970s in New York, which is the time when the city is facing a fiscal crisis, would eventually declare bankruptcy. And at that time, you know, the big kind of political push was about how to deal with this fiscal crisis, you know, and you know what was being proposed in the halls of power was to cut social programs, to cut benefits for mothers, to cut subsidized childcare, to cut welfare payments, and to cut the public, you know, university system that allowed mothers to actually go and get an education for free. So these were all on the chopping block, and wages for housework is a really big part of protesting those cuts to government services. And one of the arguments they made was to try to reframe this question of austerity. They said, you know, the whole discourse about austerity measures and cutting all these programs is that we are cutting loose the freeloaders. We're getting rid of luxuries, things that are not essential to the functioning government. They tried to turn that argument on its head and say, actually, you know, we're not here asking for handouts or for charity. We're here as essential workers demanding our just payment for essential work. And in that way, they really tried to change the conversation about austerity. Of course, as we know, you know, then the government went on to declare austerity and cut all those programs. But I think it's a really important moment when we saw an alternative being, you know, kind of proposed about how feminism could respond to that kind of challenge. Okay, so the fourth person I want to talk about that you joined the committee and really contributed, you know, in unique ways to it was Wilmette Brown. She's pictured here. So Wilmette Brown's a black lesbian woman. She was born in Newark, New Jersey, a city that was very segregated. And she grew up in a really politically active neighborhood and household. She was involved in the Congress for Racial Equality. She was part of the youth NAACP. And she went on to Berkeley. She was a brilliant student. And you know, she was very active in the peace movement at Berkeley in the 1960s. She soon became disillusioned with campus politics and eventually left campus and joined the Black Panther Party, and then went on to become involved in the fight for ethnic studies at San Francisco State University. And you know, she really traveled the world, you know, being involved in these really different kinds of freedom struggles, you know, as part of her sort of, you know, quest for justice. And in the mid-1970s, when she kind of encountered the wages for housework movement in New York City after recently moving there, she really saw it to be an extension of what she understood to be the Black freedom struggle. And she really connected the analysis of the exploitation of women's unpaid work to the struggle historically of Black women, particularly thinking back to histories of slavery, histories of imperialism, and more recently immigration, and how Black women's work has been essential and exploited by modern economic systems. So she saw wages for housework as an extension of the Black freedom struggle. And then finally, the fifth person I bring into this kind of, you know, collective story is Margaret Prescott, who's pictured here. So Margaret Prescott was born in Barbados, and she grew up, you know, at a time when Barbados was still under colonial rule.